former Philly Law. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Soup with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now a part of the VSIN family of podcasts, and we've got a great podcast for you. In the first segment, going to be taking a look at everything that we wound up seeing in both Tuesday and Wednesday in college basketball, since I wasn't able to give a recap yesterday, so we're going to be hitting upon that. And then in the second segment, Eric Haslam does a great job with the website haslammetrics.com. He's going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about how he's going to be gauging these COVID-19 pauses with many of these programs. Taking a look forward to really the main game that we've got for this college basketball Thursday in George Mason versus Wisconsin, and going to be diving into who he's got number one in all of college basketball right now. And then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys picks and analysis on every game on the college basketball betting board for this Thursday as we hit some bank shots. Now, I will throw out there the disclaimer. I am doing the look ahead on VSiN from 10 p.m. Pacific to 1 a.m. That is 1 a.m. Eastern to 4 a.m. So as of the time of this podcast, I am not going to be knowing who is going to be doing the final two games of the Diamondback Classic. So the matchups are going to be involving the teams involved in Vanderbilt versus Hawaii, along with BYU and South Florida. Those are going to be to be determined. I'm going to be hitting those on the look at. I will provide the link down low just because I don't want to be just trying to provide a completely blind handicap on matchups that do not wind up happening, because I think you're going to get like BYU versus Vanderbilt and South Florida versus Hawaii. But if you wind up not getting that, then you're going to look really, really dumb. And what winds up happening in these games does involve a little bit of what is going to be going into the handicap of those games. So I'm going to be doing that. So that'll be probably in the description box, I would say right around 2 or 3 a.m. Pacific time. So be on the lookout for that. But with that said, we've got a great podcast for you today. And if you ever have questions, comments, segment ideas, what have you for this podcast, got one of two ways we offer those in. First one is by Twitter timeline at JRS41. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please send these in to the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not wind up getting in any Twitter questions today, so let's take a look at everything that we've seen in college basketball the last 2 days. We'll be starting with Tuesday first and then going to Wednesday, try to get to know these teams a little bit better and try to find some trends.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
When it comes to the Tuesday board, you wind up seeing Chicago State be unable to cover against Iowa State, and well, Chicago State, they were unable to cover against Drake as well. It seems like the old Chicago State seems to be coming about a little bit more. This is an improved team. They're not a bottom five team in all of college basketball anymore, but I mean, a very tough back-to-back there. I think more impressively, Iowa is looking like a real deal team now at 12-0. Isaiah Brockington had 20 points in their 79-48 win over Chicago State, but really the biggest result that we wound up seeing on Tuesday, Davidson taking down Alabama. I felt like Alabama being ranked in the top 10 in the AP poll was not necessarily justified, and this is a Davidson team that all of a sudden, they are 10-1 against the spread. They have been making you a bunch of money. They won this game 79-78. Very nearly blew it late, and this was the New York Post play of the day. The New York Post play of the day for Wednesday, unfortunately, it was Arizona. That technical foul, oh boy, we're going to be getting into that in the next segment, but for Davidson, they go 12-24 from three-point range in this game. And overall, you take a look at Davidson, they're shooting 42.5% from three-point range. Now, I think that this might be built on sand a little bit, but I mean, you've got four out of your top five scorers shooting at least 41% from three-point range. This team is completely locked and loaded. Depth is a little bit of an issue. You wound up seeing that in this game. They wound up having a combined 4 bench points, and Alabama was able to do a little bit of a better job there. But also with Alabama, this is a team that overall, they're shooting right around 68% the free throw line. They went 6-8 in this game, but 12-36 from three-point range. This is a little bit of a Carmelo Anthony of college basketball, so that is certainly something that you do want to be taking note of. Big takeaway as well is that we're just seeing more sub-120 totals than ever before. You wound up seeing one of these go over with Jacksonville versus Pittsburgh by a count of 64-55. Pittsburgh was able to get it done there. So that was one that was very intriguing. This one was just a little bit above 120, but you wound up seeing Cal State Bakersfield versus Dartmouth wind up going under. Merrimack versus Maine was set right around 113-114. Merrimack won that game 49-47. Then Tarleton State and Air Force had a total of right around 113. Total winds up landing 112, so you wind up getting it under on that game as well. So we are noticing that even though these totals are set very low, well, they're staying very, very low. So, I mean, it is very much warranted right now. And if I were to just do the math off the top of my head, right around, I would say probably about 60% of these games with a sub-120 total have went under. I would need to double check my work, but certainly we have been seeing a lot of these very, very low totals be coming through to the under. What else we've been seeing quite a bit of is just some of these teams teams that are a little bit off the beaten path be able to do a very solid job for you, as we wound up seeing IUPUI become one of the greatest fates in all of college basketball. You're finally able to get an over with them, but more I'd say bludgeon them 80-52. They were a double digit home underdog and they were unable to come through. You did wind up seeing the SEC have themselves a nice day on Tuesday, as well as Arkansas. They took it to Elon by a count of 81-55. Elon actually winds up getting up on this game by a count of 24-21, and then Arkansas just wound up controlling this game through the back half of it. Now, you got to see Arkansas be able to do a little bit better against, let's call it what it is, more stiff competition, but they do wind up going 8 of 22 from three-point range in this one, so they were able to control the game with that aspect. And Mississippi State, against a good Winthrop team, wound up winning by a count of 84-63, with Mississippi State overcoming the fact that they did wind up having not a lot come off their bench. They were without Tolu Smith in this game once again, but still, you were able to get 22 points out of Iverson Molinar. The team went 9-21 from three-point range, won the rebound battle by a count of 31-22, and for Winthrop, just 5-20 from three-point range. Winthrop, a very solid mid-major team, but they were just a little bit overwhelmed in this game, just like Sam Houston State, one of the worst free-throw shooting teams in all of college basketball, is overwhelmed. They wound up being able to redeem themselves on Wednesday by being able to take down NC Central and being able to cover, but in this game, they got bludgeoned by a count of 87-61. It's a Bradley team that I just am not necessarily high on personally. I think that they are one of the more, shall we say, intriguing teams in all of college basketball. It's also been intriguing to take a look at Villanova this season. They have had a, shall we say, rough start to the year, but on Tuesday, they were able to pick it up. They were able to get a nice win and cover against Xavier by a count of 71-58, and things were not looking great for Villanova at the start of the game. They were trailing at halftime, but they were able to put on a nice run late to be able to get it done. You were able to get Justin Moore to be able to have 17 points, 12 of those in the second half, as Xavier at one point was leading by double digits, and then you just take a look at the end of this game. It was 51-51 with, I would say, about 6 minutes left, actually 51-49 with more like 7.5 minutes left. And then from there, Villanova put on a 22-7 run to be able to get it done. And for Villanova, this is a team that they've really been priding themselves on being able to take care of the ball in this game. They don't really do a great job on the glass. They lose the rebound battle by kind of 32-31, but 7 turnovers for them, 13 turnovers for the X-Men, Colin Gillespie. He did a solid job, 15 points, only made one of his threes. And for Villanova, just 6 of 21 for three. You can tell that this is a team that they've been going a little bit cold from distance, but they were able to still be able to get it done. Michigan State was able to get it done for a winning cover by a count of 90-78. Now, interestingly enough, you wound up having a missed shot with like 15 seconds left to go in a lot of places. This wound up closing right around 9.5 and 10, and Marcus Bingham Jr. winds up getting a dunk to be able to turn the push into a win, or the, in some cases, lost, because this wound up getting to 11 in some spots as well, into a W as well, if you wound up playing it with Michigan State. You also wound up seeing Oregon State finally be able to get a win. They take down Nichols by a count of 83-61. I don't think that Oregon State is back. I think that this was just a product of them having some good shooting on this day, as they wound up shooting 53.5% overall from the floor. You wound up having Warwithel Tiche along with Gerard Lucas be able to combine for 39 points. I believe that that was just their second cover all season long. So Oregon State certainly has been rough with that aspect. And Washington, boy oh boy, they're not looking great. 68-52. They lose on their home floor to Utah Valley. But Utah Valley, I will say, this is a legitimate team. They've already knocked off BYU this season. You were able to get 15 points and 15 rebounds out of Fardos Amick. He is someone that you've got to be taking note of. This was really your bad beat of the night if you wound up taking the points with Georgia State. They wound up losing by 10 points in overtime to Georgia Tech by a count of 72-62. It was Jordan Usher who wound up controlling this game, and that's big for Georgia Tech because, I mean, it's really been the Michael DeVoe show and really nothing else. He wound up having just 8 points in this game. He was not himself, but Usher, 5-6 from 3-point range, 30 points. Still need a little bit more depth, but that is a good stepping stone for the team. And then for Oregon, they were able to take down Pepperdine, but they were unable to get a cover by a count of 68-59. This has been one of the worst against the spread teams in all of college basketball. Albany, they wound up getting up, I believe it was something like 34-8 against Lehigh or something like that, and they wound up being able to pull away 68-52 the final. It was 31-8, so I oversold it a little bit, but Albany, after being able to take down Boston College, they're looking like a team that you could trust along with Southern. They don't get the win, but they get a cover against Dayton. They were able to go on the road. They were able to win outright a couple days ago against Kent State. They had a nice cover against Kentucky, losing that game by a count of 76-64. This is also a team that went on the road. They were able to take down Tulane. They covered against Louisville. So this is a team that all of a sudden has been able to make you a lot of money. So you do want to be taking note of Southern as well. And George Mason, a team that we're going to be seeing on Thursday, they were able to win and cover against American by a count of 67. 47-44. So we're going to be asking Eric his thoughts on that game in the second segment. But when it comes to Wednesday, we did wind up seeing the Tennessee versus Arizona game, as I mentioned, be marred a little bit by a bad technical foul towards the end of the game. But really, Arizona lost this game early. They do wind up losing this game by 4 points, by kind of 77-73. But Tennessee gets off to a 16-2 start. So Arizona had to play from behind all game long, and they very nearly were able to pull it off. They were never able to really take the lead, but they did wind up doing a good job on defense. For Tennessee, what really benefited them was whistle. They do go 18 of 27 at the free throw line. For Arizona, 12 of 18. So both of these teams were a little bit ice cold there. And for Tennessee, they won the rebound battle by a count of 40-38. They looked relatively solid in this game with John Fulkerson giving the team 24 points, 10 rebounds. That was really the big thing, because Ben Mathurin, he showed up for this Arizona team. He had 28 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, but you just wound up having Tennessee be able to get to the free throw line a little bit more. Both of these teams weren't necessarily great from 3-point range. Tennessee 7 of 24 and Arizona 9 of 27, but you take a look at that game and you still have to come away thinking that Arizona still one of the better teams in all of college basketball, and I think that bright days are ahead for them. How Tom Crean has a job, I have no idea. Georgia winds up losing on their home floor once again, this time to East Tennessee State by a count of 86-84 for East Tennessee State. They go 13 of 25 from 3-point range. Georgia won 11 of 34 themselves, so it's not like they weren't getting a little bit of cluster luck, but with that said, for East Tennessee State, 8 turnovers in this game, and for Georgia, they wound up committing 13 of them. That was a big giant bugaboo. This is a Georgia team that I actually don't think we'll finish last in the conference, because you still have Missouri who exists, and Missouri just got dump trucked against Illinois 88-63. So they're still a little bit better than that, but Tom Crean certainly does need to go. This has been an ineffective Georgia team, to say the least. And for Missouri, they went 6-23 from 3-point range. Kobe Brown, 13.7 rebounds. He's the only guy giving the team an effort. And for Illinois, give them some credit, 25 points and 14 rebounds out of Kofi Coburn. He was able to do an absolutely tremendous job with that aspect. Trent Frazier was able to chip in their 15. This is an Illinois team that, without Andre Carbello, may have looked just fine. And I honestly think that they're a little bit better with them off the floor. That's just me speaking aloud here, but they certainly have been able to do a nice job with that aspect. You had Southern Utah just completely dump truck Dixie State by a count of 87-59. I think that they're going to be very solid out there in the Big Sky. If you wound up taking the points with Virginia Tech, that was a brutal one on Wednesday as well. Duke wound up laying about 9, and throughout much of the game, Virginia Tech wound up having a lead. Things wound up getting away from them a little bit late, and then they wound up going on a late, I guess you call it, drought for Duke to be able to win and cover by a count of 76-65 for Duke. They wound up doing a solid job at the free throw line, 13 of 16 at the line. Paolo Banchero, 13 points, 8 boards. He looks like the real deal. Duke is clearly the number one team in this conference. And Virginia Tech is actually looking like a top three team, because Virginia winds up losing outright on their home floor to Clemson. Now, Clemson is actually rising up my power rankings as well, but take a look at Kevin Aluma along Justin Mutz, a combined 45 points, 19 rebounds. So I actually did like what I wound up seeing out of Virginia Tech in that game. We'll get to Virginia in a second, but also loved what I saw out of Houston. This is a team that is dealing with quite a few injuries out there in the backcourt with Trayvon Mark along Tazay Moore out, but they completely killed Texas State by a count of 80-47. 13-28 from 3-point range for Houston. You wound up having 20 points out of Josh Carlton. Really a great effort from this team overall. They win the rebound battle by a count 31-26. Commit just 8 turnovers. Meanwhile, for Texas State, 19 turnovers. That has been a Houston specialty. For Texas State, they got off just 47 shots in this game, so they were just completely unable to even just get the ball on the basket. The two really best cover teams that we've been seeing in college basketball recently also wound up doing battle. Hofstra has now the best cover rate since the beginning of the 2018-19 season at Monmouth. They entered into Wednesday 12-0 against the spread this season. They take their first against the spread loss with Hofstra getting a 77-71 win. And for Hofstra, they do this without their top scorer, Zach Cooks. This is a team that you want to buy stock in right now. For Hofstra, they were able to do a terrific job with Jalen Ray being able to get the team 19 points, 6 rebounds. You now are back in the fold. Your main rebounder in Obama Iola, he was able to give the team 9 points, 11 rebounds, so he certainly was able to do his part as well. Wichita State, they just completely dump trucked Prairie View by a count of 102-66, so that was a good result there. Charleston Southern has been a top 5 team with regards to tempo. Here's how good their tempo is. They wound up playing an 82-80 game against Old Dominion, one of the slowest teams in all of college basketball, so got to be taking a look at quite a few overs with that team. They wound up having West Virginia take it to Youngstown State by a count of 82-52, and I knew that the West Virginia defense was relatively solid, but I mean, you take a look at this team, and in all five of their games in the month of December, you're able to throw in there the last game of November as well against Bellarmine, and this is a team that has allowed fewer than 60 points in each out of their last six games. Not necessarily a great three-point shooting team. Now, they were able to get it going a little bit more in this game as they went 7-15 from three-point range, but for West Virginia, man, they are looking very good when it comes to just being able to stymie teams. Chicago State wound up losing to Drake by a count of 87-50. That was a little bit tough. And Kentucky, they're right now legitimately looking like one of the best teams in all of college basketball. They came into the week ranked number 20. They take down Western Kentucky by a count of 95-60. And the team that they blew out a few days ago, UNC, they got a cover 2 days ago against Appalachian State, winning that game by 20. So that speaks a little bit more to Kentucky as well. But for Kentucky, Oscar Tshiebwe had 28 rebounds in this game. I mean, that is just absolutely insane. He had 28 rebounds and Western Kentucky had 27. I can't remember the last time I've seen a case in which one individual wound up having more rebounds than the entirety of the team. So that is something that you got to be taking a look at. I still think that Minnesota is a relatively good bet on team. They wound up having a little bit of a rough first half against UW Green Bay that prevented them from being able to cover right around 16.5, but they did wind up taking down UW Green Bay by a count of 72-56. This has been a well-rounded team. Not necessarily a team with a lot of depth, so you've got to be taking note if they do wind up having injuries, but certainly a good bunch. When it comes to college basketball in general, we haven't been noticing a lot of trends demonstratively when it comes to overs and unders, but we are noticing right now that St. Thomas has been blowing a lot of leads. I know that many of you guys like myself wound up having the money line in this one. They got up 44-29 at halftime, and then they just completely blew this game. They actually wound up getting up as high as 46-29, and you very nearly saw them lose a game which they wound up getting up by 29 against Nebraska of Omaha. So that is certainly something that I'm going to be taking note of my next handicap when it comes to this team, Texas Tech. They are still looking very good on defense. They take down Eastern Washington by a count of 78-46 in Notre Dame. No cover against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. A Corpus Christi team that has been one of the more up-tempo teams in all of college basketball. They wind up being able to win this game. Notre Dame does 83-73, but they are unable to get a cover. So we wound up seeing a lot of interesting results in college basketball the last 2 days. And with that, we've got to be talking to my man, Eric Haslam. He does a great job with his analytics website, haslametrics.com. He is going to be joining me. We're going to be taking a look at how to gauge some of these teams that are going through COVID-19 pauses. We're also going to be talking with him about who he's got number one and taking a look forward to George Mason versus Wisconsin. That's on the other side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Las Vegas, we're Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hughes, and now a part of the VSiN Family of Podcasts. And It is great to be joined by our guests as this man does a terrific job over there with his analytics site, Haslametrics.com, as we've got Eric Haslam on the podcast. He is a man that hails out there in the great state of Wisconsin, much like where I wound up growing up, spent the first 22 years of my life out there. So it is good to be able to get a fellow Wisconsinite on this show, and he does an absolutely terrific job when it comes to being able to analyze college basketballs. To be able to follow Eric Haslam on Twitter, that is at Haslametrics. That is his last name, H-A-S-L-A-M, and then E-T-R-I-C-S. And Eric, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Greg.
It is great to have you aboard. And Eric, what is not great is that we're seeing a lot of games wind up getting postponed and canceled due to COVID-19 protocols, everything like this. And when it comes to your analytics, do you wind up factoring this in at all? Because I do think that it's going to be interesting to see how these teams wind up coming back from COVID positives, because now we've, at the very least, got a little bit of a sample size from it last year. Not necessarily a big one, but we've got a little bit from it. And it's unfortunate that we have to look back at it, but I do think that it is important to look back at it.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that this is kind of happening again. You know, I think even 2 weeks ago, if you told us this was coming, I think we would have been a little bit surprised by it. I think, like, what was it, Tuesday, I think we saw a grand total of 23 cancellations or something like that, cancellations and postponements. And that was probably, I don't know if it was more than, you know, the year combined up until that point, but it sure seemed like a lot, and it just seems like it's not getting a lot better. And, you know, the analytics at this point have really gotten a lot of the information they kind of need up front. A lot of the interconference play has occurred in the first couple months of the season. And so we're past the baselines now, at least. We've kind of shed most of the baseline, the preseason baselines, which are a lot of guesstimates based on some preseason variables that we can kind of get an idea of how good a team is going to be. And sometimes we hit them pretty close and sometimes we miss. But in this instance, a lot of that stuff is already burned off. So for most teams out there right now, we're really basing all our metrics based on what has happened this season. You know, we like to get more data because sometimes teams get hot early on and then they develop and get better on as the season goes on. But, you know, obviously the more interruptions we get, it's just less data that we can absorb. And, you know, I'm glad we've got what we've got, but it's just not such a great thing that this is kicking in right now, right before conference play is going to start.
Yep, I totally agree with you there. It certainly is brutal that we have to be going through it. But with that said, what we've been going through as well with regards to college basketball this season, with regards to the on-field product, is that it feels like teams are playing slower than ever before. I've never seen so many sub-120 totals this season in college basketball. And how have you been taking a look at this when it comes to the analytics side of things? Because as we know, when it comes to fewer possessions in a game, you can wind up getting more wonky results, because when you wind up having 60 possessions in a game versus 70, you can wind up having more outliers, in my opinion. And I do think that that makes things very intriguing with regards to a handicap perspective. And it certainly makes the viewing of these college basketball games sometimes very, very harebrained as well.
Yeah, you know what? The average pace of these games, you know, it just seems to me, and I'd have to look back at some of the numbers right now, but the average pace that I'm calculating, usually I start up a little bit higher, and that's just very typical of the season. What you do at the front is I pretty much take the standard pace from past seasons and I give it a multiplier of like 2.5%, because for whatever reason, early on in the season, the tempos are up by about 2.5%, and then the efficiency is down. It seems like that upcourt value that I use, I call it upcourt behind the scenes, but anybody else would refer to it as tempo or pace, is probably in that 69 range, where it just seems a little bit slower and the efficiency is south of 100. So it's not just you. I think that you're seeing right now that just the efficiency is down, the tempos are a little bit down. It's something I wouldn't expect at this time of the year. Normally at this point you'd see some higher scores. It's just not happening.
Yep, I'm right there with you. It certainly has been intriguing to take a look at this and just see so many teams buy into a slower pace when, as we know, typically in college basketball, a lot of these newer coaches are trying to be like, oh, we're going to be playing up tempo, we're going to be trying to be exciting and everything like that. That certainly has not been happening for a lot of teams this season, as we do have Eric Haslam, does a great job with Haslametrics, joining me on the podcast. And Eric, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of games that's going to be going down for this college basketball Thursday. Although we do have one that's going to be of interest to both of us in George Mason versus Wisconsin. I'll get your take on that in a minute. But when it comes to gauging the top teams in all of college basketball, how difficult has it been and how big is the difference between one and maybe even two through five-ish when it comes to this, because I just feel like this year it's more open than it's ever been before. And I think that it is a great debate as to who to put number one.
Yeah. You know, I think there is a lot of parity where in the past, I think you really had those top tier teams a year ago where I think, you know, Gonzaga and Baylor and Gonzaga, that's what it was last year. And then I think for instances of time, you had Michigan jump in there. Potentially an argument could be made that they entered into that top tier. Illinois, certainly probably right around early March, they were entering that top tier conversation. But at the end, it ended up being Baylor and Gonzaga like we all thought it was going to be. This year, it's a little bit dicier. You know, I think Baylor was not supposed to be where they are right now. I have them as my number one team. Purdue was supposed to be up there, but I don't think they were supposed to be one or two. Everybody was still talking. It was going to be Gonzaga. And Gonzaga with the two losses has kind of taken them a little bit down my board, so to speak. You have Arizona who's up there. Now Arizona suffers a loss. LSU has come out of the gates really fast. Even an Auburn team has been kind of upstart. Not to mention, we're not even talking Houston. Kansas, Duke is 10-1, or I should say 11-1 now. So it just seems to me like we're the elite teams that we've saw last year, the elite talent that you saw from Gonzaga and you saw from Baylor. It just doesn't seem like it's there anymore. And instead of seeing two teams at the top, it feels more like you're dealing with almost as many as 10 that could be right there on that top tier.
Yep, I'm in total agreement with you there. It certainly is a case in which I feel like it's just as open as we've seen in a very, very long time. And when it comes to your analytics, who do you wind up having at number one right now? Because I feel like you could go in a wide variety of ways. I felt like if they would have been able to pull off the win on Wednesday, Arizona would be up there, obviously, getting off to the wrong end of a 16-2 run to start the game and a technical foul. Certainly plays into there. When it comes to sheer talent, I think that Gonzaga still has a shot as well. And then obviously you've got Baylor being undefeated. So who do you wind up having at number one right now?
Right now we have Baylor at number one. Purdue is at number two. They're separated by less than a half a point on a neutral court. So again, that can change very quickly. You have a team like an LSU or an Auburn who really blows an expectation out of out of this world, has a great game, plays against an impact opponent. It doesn't even have to be an impact opponent. If you just blow past the expectation, you can climb very high very quickly. Even though you may see some of these teams being a point, maybe 2 or 3 points behind on a neutral court, one big performance can change things drastically overnight.
Yeah, and when you wind up dealing with a circumstance in which the difference is less than a half a point, I mean, legitimately, things like the schedule spot, if you wind up having, like, a bench player being out of the fold, that can make the difference between which team is a favorite and which team is not. So that certainly tells you how equal these teams are, as we do have Eric Haslam of Haslametrics joining me on the podcast. And Eric, like I said, not necessarily the world's greatest slate of college basketball that we're going to be having for Thursday. It is better than the one that we've got for Friday, as there's literally no games for Friday. But I mean, the one that's of intrigue is one that I'm sure that you're going to be locked in on, Wisconsin versus George Mason. As of right now, we're not seeing any lines currently up on this game. But when running the simulations, where do you wind up lining this game? Because I do think that there's a good chance that George Mason can be highly competitive in this game, being that they've already knocked off Maryland and Georgia this year.
Yeah, so Wisconsin right now is ranked 39th for me. George Mason sitting at number 101. That's a team that really skyrocketed with Kim English, came out of the gates very quickly. I think I had them right around 175 or 180 before the preseason. Within the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, they jumped up to right around 100. And that's kind of where they've lingered since then. They've kind of bounced from back down to 125, back to 100, back down to 125, and now they're back to 100 again. They kind of jump back and forth. Wisconsin, you and I are very familiar with them, very well versed on the defensive end of the basketball. They're 27th right now in defensive efficiency, not quite as good on the offensive end, 67th. I think they rely too heavily on Johnny Davis, although Johnny Davis has been a godsend for them. I don't think anybody saw his abilities coming. Wisconsin fans knew how good he was. I don't know if we knew how he was this good, but he has been such a dominant force for them, and they've really relied on him quite a bit. Based on what the expectation is right now for that game, right now it's roughly Wisconsin by about 9. I don't know if Vegas will place that a little bit closer. Sometimes I feel like my stuff can be just a slight more aggressive than Vegas, but that's where it stands right now. The projected final in that game would be Wisconsin 69, George Mason 60.
Yep, I think that that's relatively in line. I actually am setting my total at 127.5. I set George Mason more around a 5.5-point underdog because I actually think that this is going to be a bad matchup for Wisconsin. I do think that Wisconsin is certainly going to be able to pull it out, though. And Eric, I know that you're doing absolutely terrific work with regards to your analytics. You do a great job day in and day out posting up what you've got on the board for the day, just with regards to running everything, posting up what you think the final scores are going to be. And I know that you do a great job of communicating with others on social media as well. So let the good people at home know how they're able to follow all of your work and how they're just able to get it and what you're just all working on in general.
Yeah, if you guys want to just follow me, I'm out there on haslametrics.com. Otherwise, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you guys can find me. My hashtag or my handle is at haslametrics. You'll see me going hashtag analytically final. That's kind of my thing. Trimming the garbage time of game. Not particularly interested in those minutes of the game where the game has already been decided. So if you see analytically final out there, you'll know you've run into haslametrics out on Twitter.
Eric does an absolutely terrific job when it comes to just taking a look at the game of basketball. His analytics are top notch, and he always does a great job when he joins this podcast. So big thanks, Eric, for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops Now, part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a sign total on every game on the betting board for this college basketball Thursday as we hit some bank shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always a pleasure to get Eric Haslam on the podcast. Does a great job with his website, haslametrics.com, and just an overall great guy that comes from the great state of Wisconsin. So big thanks to him. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a sign total on every game on the betting board for this college basketball Thursday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at JarenSquirty1. We're going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order as per usual. This is typically in a little bit more time order, but today it's a little bit irky-jerky because you wind up having games added to the board, and I'm just not going to be able to give you anything on the final two games for the Diamond Head Classic. That is because, as I am recording this, we just have no idea who BYU and South Florida along Vanderbilt and Hawaii are going to be playing, just because you wind up having this wind up starting at 9 p.m. Pacific. This needs to be up by midnight, and I am doing the look ahead from 10 p.m. Pacific to 1 a.m. So as I'm on the air, the game is going to be wrapped up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be providing some insight for these games on the look ahead. So have no fear if you're wondering where the BYU, Vanderbilt, Hawaii, South Florida matchups are and what I'm thinking about them. I'm going to be putting that once we wind up doing the look at. So this will probably be a link that I'll have in the comments box, and I'll have it retweeted at like 2-3 a.m. p.m. Pacific time. So I just want to get that out of the way right now before we wind up starting. I don't want to give anything that is just way too offline just because we're trying to look at matchups that we don't know is going to be happening, and that's just a big, giant calamity. So we're going to be starting with 8-11, 8-12 on the betting board. Fresno State is going to be in the road to face off against Weber State. Weber State is a one-point favorite, and your total on this game, you're getting it at a 135.5, and I think that this is going to be a fascinating game, but I personally want to make Weber State a three-point favorite. I think that these teams are pretty much dead equal on a neutral court, and when it comes to Weber State, what you gotta love about this team is their three-point shooting. You take a look at Kobe McEwen, the transfer that winds up coming in from Marquette, and he has been tremendous for this team. 16.5 points, 4.5 boards, shooting 35% from three-point range, so he has been a rock-solid catalyst for a Weber State team that overall, they shoot only about 31% from three-point range, but you take a look at the top-end guys, Jamison Overton, along with Sisoho Giora. Both of these guys have been able to shoot above 39% from three-point range. You've got them both being able to give you between 11.5 and 12 points per game. You've been able to get 13.5 points, 10.5 rebounds per game out of Dylan Jones as well. He's chipping in there 2.5 assists per game, and this is a Weber State team that they turn the ball over just 12 times per game. They generate a little bit over 8 steals per game. Then with Fresno State, you do have Orlando Robinson. Orlando Robinson has been tremendous for the team. 18 points, 8.5 rebounds, a guy that's 7 feet tall that shoots right around 33% from three-point range, and then bigger than that as well. How about getting back Jamarrell Baker? This guy is very big for this team. Now, you do want to note that he also wound up missing the game against Utah, but there is a chance that he winds up playing in this game. I'm handicapping it as if he is in. So if he is out, that is even better for Weber State, because when he wound up returning, he had 30 points in the two games against Cal Poly and UC Irvine. He's been dealing with all of stability things, now injuries, so that is a situation all to it of itself. And then you've got Jordan Campbell out there in the backcourt for Fresno State. Only shoots about 27.5% from three. Fresno State as collective, they shoot 29.5% from distance, but he's been able to pump in there right around 9 points per game, so he's been able to do a solid job for this team. And then you've been able to get right around 5.5 rebounds and 7 points per game out of Anthony Holland. So I do take a look at the spot. I did wind up making Weber State a 3-point favorite, and I do think that Fresno State, one of the slower teams in all of college basketball, is going to be able to slow things down a little bit. This is not a Weber State team that is looking to run and gun. They're just efficient in general. So set this total at 135, diving under and laying a point with Weber State. 813, 814 on the betting board. Butler and St. John's are going to be doing battle. St. John's is finding themselves a 5-6 point favorite. Your total on this game, 135.5, and I wound up saying St. John's as more of a double-digit favorite in this spot, just because when you take a look at this Butler team, they've been dealing with a bunch of injuries. They've been able to get back quite a few of their guys, but this is a team that they get nothing going on offense. This is a St. John's team that I do recognize that they have been dealing with quite a few injuries. Julian Champagny and Pasha Alexander have both dealt with a few ailments recently. Right now, it's more Julian Champagny that is going through it. He did not wind up playing in the game against Pittsburgh. Now, there is a chance that he's going to be able to play in this game, and that would be big. 20.5 points, 6.5 rebounds per game. I'll certainly be monitoring his status, but you saw if, even if he's out, and I'm thinking that he's going to be out because I'm going to be handicapping this as if he is, just to be on the safe side. But you saw Pasha Alexander, guy that's able to give you 16 points, 5 assists per game. He's been able to generate 2.5 steals per game. This is a St. John's team that you just take a look at it. You still have guys like Dylan Adewasu, who's able to give you 2.5 per game. Montez Mathis, nearly a 2.5 per game. These two guys combined for 19 points per game. Wasu shooting 37.5% from 3-point range. Overall, St. John's, they shoot 35% from distance while generating 10 steals per game. That's going to be big against a Butler team that they've dealt with their own injury issues. Chuck Harris has been able to be out there consistently and has been able to give this team right around 11.5 points per game. He really is one of those heart and soul pieces for a Butler team that, let's call it what it is, they have not been good. 13.5 turnovers a game. Now, they do shoot right around 34% from 3-point range, but also sub 70% at the free throw line as well, with Mr. Harris, he wound up missing the game against Purdue once again. I think that there's a chance that he winds up being in, but just to make it simple on myself, I wound up ruling Harris out, and I wound up ruling out Mr. Julian Champagny. So both of these guys, I just ruled as out to be able to make it a relatively fair handicap in this spot, because you do have a lot of injury information that you're going to be sorting through when it comes to this game, Jair Bolden. Meanwhile, for Butler, he's been able to shoot 38.5% from 3-point range, 10.5 points per game, but got no real facilitator. I mean, other than Chuck Harris, all you've got is Aaron Thompson. And Thompson has been able to do a solid job whenever he's been out there for the team. Right around 4.5 assists per game. It's given the team a combined 16 assists with 20 points in the last two games. But who's he going to be able to pass to at this point? That's a big, giant question mark. Bryce Enzi has been dealing with injuries as well. So I do take a look at this spot. Wound up saying St. John's as an 11-point favorite, with both teams dealing with a lot of injury information. I set this all at 135 as well. You're likely going to be shorthanded with regards to at least one of, if not both of these two. teams, and Butler, they slow things down to a crawl, and I think that it's going to be a little bit easier for them to be able to slow this game down. So taking the under and laying the points with St. John's, 8-15, 8-16 on the betting board. Cancel game between Seton Hall and DePaul. This was a forfeit, so take Seton Hall on the money line because they wind up winning this game 2-0 when you wind up reading it in the box score, which I always think is strange. Hopefully they do away with that, but with that said, we move on. 8-17, 8-18 on the betting board. We go to the Diamond Egg Classic. Liberty and Stanford are going to be doing battle. You've got no numbers currently up on this game, but the book of Greg Peterson makes Liberty a 2-point favorite and your total 126. This is a Liberty team that is slowing things down to a crawl, and this is a Stanford team that they're not looking to push a tempo either. Now, you really saw Liberty be able to pop off, have a big offensive performance yesterday, and when it comes to guards, I mean, you've got Harrison Ingram on the other side for Stanford. He's terrific, but Darius McGee might be the best pure scorer on the floor. 36.5% three-point shooter, 19.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 1.5 steals per game. And then Keegan McDowell has been able to shoot 45.5% from three with 92% free throw shooting. You take a look at Stanford, and this is not a team that they necessarily do a great job of being able to rein it in. 15.5 turnovers per game is unsightly. They shoot 65% at the free throw line. So in a tight game, that is something that's going to matter. Liberty isn't too great themselves, more around 69%, but I have a little bit more faith in there with Ingram and Dallaire. These two guys are being able to average right around 25 points per game with Jaden Dallaire, right around 4 rebounds per game. But when you just take a look at this Stanford team outside of Harrison Ingram, you don't have a lot of 3-point shooting, and even Harrison Ingram shooting 32% from 3-point range. Yeah, you have been able to have Maximin Reynaud be able to step up. He's 7'1". He's actually been able to pop a couple threes for this team, so has been very helpful as he's been able to pump in there right around 5 rebounds, 6 points per game. But I do think that Liberty is going to be able to hold up down low. They don't necessarily have ideal size, but they've got someone like a Blake Preston who's able to give you 5.5 rebounds, has good versatility, and this is a Liberty team that they're just so cohesive. So I wound up saying Liberty as a 2-point favorite, made this total 126 as well. So we're going to be taking a look at that. Can't give you an over and under right now because we just don't have any numbers, and the same is going to be holding true for this as well. 8-19, 8-20 on the betting board. Out there in the island of Hawaii, you've got Wyoming and Northern Iowa. I wound up saying Wyoming is a 5.5-point favorite. I just am not really liking what I'm seeing out of this Northern Iowa team. Also made this total 134.5. It's been really interesting to watch Northern Iowa. This is traditionally a very slow and controlled tempo team. They've been trying to pump it up a little bit more, and it just hasn't worked out for them. I mean, there's no other way to really put it. AJ Green has been terrific for this team. He's been able to give the team 19 points per game, someone that's able to chip in there right around like 3 assists per game, 4 boards, shoots 40% from 3-point range, so he's able to do a good job for this team. And then Austin Fife is someone that has size, and he's able to pop it from 3-point range. He has been missing the last few games, so that has been a little bit of an issue for this team. Did wind up coming back against Liberty and looked solid in that game, but you can tell that he still might be a little bit banged up. Overall, shooting over 60%. Except for 3-point range at 6'9", but he's been a little bit hampered with regards to his production. And Trey Barrell, who 2 years ago was someone that was shooting right around 40% for 3-point range, he's shooting 37% from distance, but he's seen a dip down with regards to his scoring, only about 8 points per game, wound up missing the game against Liberty as well. So that is something that you've got to factor in. Pretty much Fife is out, Barrell is in, and now when you take a look at Wyoming, they've got darn near everyone who's going to be out there and firing on all cylinders. They were able to play, in my opinion, a relatively solid game against Stanford. They just went 4 of 23 for 3-point range. Got to figure that this team is going to be a little bit better as overall. They're shooting about 35-36% for 3. Headlined by Xavier Dussel from the outside, shooting 40% for 3. So they will give the team 12 points per game. Hunter Maldonado, sad sheet suffer. You're not going to look to him for 3s, but the game yesterday had 5 boards, 8 assists, and 18 points per game. Overall this season, he's been able to chip in there right around 17 points, 5.5 rebounds, 5 assists per game. You need to get a little bit more off the bench. Hunter Thompson is only giving the team 3.5 points per game, but Graham Ike, how about him? He's been able to give the team darn near 19 points per game. He had 25 and 11 yesterday, so he's been able to do his job. And then Dalton Jeffries had a big giant goose egg yesterday. I don't think that that's going to be the case today. Going into yesterday, he was averaging 11.5 points, 6 boards, shooting 50% from 3-point range. So I did wind up saying Wyoming is a 5.5 point favorite as a result. And I also made this little 134.5. You've got a Northern Iowa team that I think is going to try to get back to their roots and play a little bit slower. Meanwhile, you've got a Wyoming team that they don't gun it, but 9.5 turnovers a game is what they're committing. One of the best marks in college basketball. 821, 822, 823, 824 are just completely to be determined matchups when it comes to the Diamond Egg Classic. Typically, I will just insert something very, very late or try to give a handicap blindly, but I will be on the lookout on VSiN, so I will be giving out previews on that show. I will provide the link once that is done. It'll probably be up at like 2, 3 a.m., so expect that. So we're just going to leave that as is for right now. As we go to the last game on the normal Las Vegas betting board, before we hit the extra games, 825, 826, George Mason is going to be hitting the red face off against Wisconsin. and this is going to be the subject of the New York Post play of the day, as I want to making George Mason more around a 5.5-point underdog in this spot. As I'm doing this right now, we are doing this relatively blindly because this is a game that wound up getting inserted very late, and quite frankly, we didn't have much to be able to pick from the Las Vegas betting board on this day, so we wound up riding with this. I would be very, very surprised if you do wind up seeing George Mason as anything less than, I would say, a 7-point underdog, because I want to make him the 5.5 personally. I think that there's going to be a good edge here when it comes to George Mason. With this George Mason bunch, you've got to love the way that they've been able to come out and they've been able to fight against good teams. They wind up going on the road, they take down Georgia, they wind up being able to go on the road, they take down Maryland. They've had spirited efforts all season long, really, aside from that multi-team event that wound up going down in South Dakota, and that was just a case in which you could tell that that team was a little bit gassed. Meanwhile, you do take a look at Wisconsin, and this is a team that overall they're shooting about 30% from three-point range. Johnny Davis is the entire team right now. He's been able to give the team 21 points, 6 boards, shooting 38% from three. Now, Brad Davidson does give this team a little bit of experience as well, right around 15 points, 4 boards himself, but you take a look at this Wisconsin team, very efficient. 8.5 turnovers per game. They shoot 76.5% of the free throw line. They are not good on the glass. They're actually getting out-rebounded, and when it comes to George Mason, I think that they're going to be able to hang in there because you've got a guy in Josh Oduro who's able to give you 17.5 points, 7 rebounds, and then Deshaun Schwartz, who winds up coming in from Colorado, shooting 37.5% from 3, 14.5 points, 5 boards. He's someone that stands right around 6'7", so good size there. This is a George Mason team that you got to feel like they're going to be up for this game as well. They wind up getting a little bit of an unexpected opportunity here. You've got Devon Cooper, who also winds coming in from Morehead State. He's been able to give the team 39% three-point shooting, right around 3 assists per game, 13 points. So I think that this is a George Mason team that is going to be able to do a solid job in this game. The New York Post play today is going to be George Mason on the spread. And when it comes to this total, I want to sing my total at 127.5. If you got a George Mason team that's playing a little bit more up-tempo, a Wisconsin team that's looking to play relatively slow, I do think that Wisconsin is going to be able to get a relatively solid tempo, but I just don't think that they're going to be able to knock down their outside shots. Meanwhile, George Mason, I think, is going to be able to do a good job on the glass. So we're looking at a total of 127.5, and Wisconsin being a 5.5-point favorite. Now we've got one extra game on the Las Vegas betting board, but I like the Sounders, so we're going to play it anyway.
The normal betting board picks are complete, but there are some extra games today, so we go into the bonus.
Unfortunately, 306-131, 306-132, St. Francis of New York and UMass Lowell has been canceled, and then everything below Wagner versus Fairfield has. So Howard, Yale, Coppin State versus George Mason, Morgan State, Wisconsin, Alabama, A&M, Georgia Tech, Central Connecticut State, Rutgers. All these games are either postponed or canceled, so that just stinks. But we do have 306-133, 306-134. Fairfield is going to be playing us a Wagner. Wagner is finding themselves a 2.5 to 3-point underdog, and your total on this game anywhere between 132.5 and 133. I want to make him Wagner a 1-point favorite in this spot. Fairfield has been a very good cover machine all season long, and they've been very solid. But you take a look at this Wagner team, and I absolutely love what I'm seeing out of this bunch. They play good, scrappy defense. They've got a lot of guys that play positionless basketball as well. Alex Morales, how about 16 points, 6.5 boards, 4 assists, shooting 53% per 3. Wagner overall, they only shoot about 31% per 3, but they make 79% of the free throws. Among their top 5 scorers, 4 of them shoot at least 78.5%. Will Martinez, 11.5 points, 4 boards, 4 assists. He has been tremendous for the team. Whenever you've had him out there, DeLon Hunt, who is now back in the hunt for the team, he's been able to give the team 9 points, 2.5 assists, another guy that's shooting 44% from 3-point range. Down low, this team does wind up getting bludgeoned a little bit. They're not necessarily the best, but I mean, other than Supreme Cook, you really don't have a lot when it comes to Fairfield's rebounding as well. He's been able to give the team right around 8 rebounds per game. He's a double-figure scorer, which has been solid. And then you do like what you're able to get out of Taj Benning and Jake Wojcik out there in the backcourt to combine 21 points per game. These two guys combined to shoot about 31% for 3 overall. Fairfield, they only turn the ball over 11 times per game. They shoot 35% per distance, and they play some good, solid defense with Mr. Jose Cruz being able to give you 8.5 points, right around 3.5 assists per game out of Caleb Green as well. So it's a solid backcourt, but I think that with being unable to take advantage of Wagner's main bugaboo, which is down low, it's going to be a tough time for Fairfield in this game, which is why I did wind up taking Wagner as a 1-point favorite. Willing to take them on the money line. When it comes to this total, I made my total 133.5. I do think that you wind up getting late game fouling. Both of these teams solid at the free throw line, so we're going to be going over along with that money line. And that will wrap things up for the Thursday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts. If you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, whatever you for this podcast, got one of two ways we all fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at JarenScorty1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, there. You're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season, which means I'll be coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.